This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I'll tell you what, it's great to have John Jackson back with us here in the 8 o'clock hour on this Tuesday. You know, he filled in for us all last week on the show, did a great job. Yesterday, I thought I was going to be ready to go, but man, until I got those splints and the packing out of my nose following last week's nose surgery, you guys heard me a little bit yesterday. It's like, okay, I'm just going to kick back and enjoy the show and just listen in for the most part. But yeah, John, man, there were so many different things you were talking about yesterday. I was back here like Magilla Gorilla again. There was like a million things I wanted to interject on, but I was like, nope, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the show.
I get that all the time. You're thinking, oh, man, I know that subject. Yeah. And did you hear about this thing? Because you're very interested in it, you want to jump in.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, if you're ever, you know, if it's not a Tuesday and you're ever out there just listening and you get that Magilla Gorilla moment, just call into the show or you can drop us a quick message on the app. I tell the same thing to some of our other sidekicks like David Noble and George Blackard as well. So, yeah, don't feel like you got to wait till your scheduled time to jump in on the conversation. Hey, we got the phone lines open for you today as well, 406-294-0970. John, do you watch this? This was one of the things I wanted to bring up yesterday with you, but I thought I'll wait till Tuesday. Do you ever watch the show Landman? So it's,
oh, love that show.
Isn't it a great show? Yeah. Have you watched any of the new season yet?
I have. I caught the first two episodes.
Oh, okay. So you haven't seen this episode yet. But have you seen, so for those who haven't watched Landman, Taylor Sheridan is the creator. He is a cinematography genius. He's the creator of Yellowstone, the Yellowstone TV show. And so think Yellowstone and ranching. Well, Landman is like the TV show Yellowstone, but it's for the oil business in Texas. So have you been introduced to Tommy, you know, which is Billy Bob Thornton's character? His dad makes an appearance in the show. Have you seen Sam Elliott arrive yet, who plays the role of Tommy's dad in the show?
Yes, saw him introduced, but haven't seen much of his character yet. Just a brief introduction.
All right. Well, I'm going to play this clip for you, John. It's a bit of a spoiler. I'll throw that out there. But Sam Elliott, the character of Tommy's dad, is on the phone with Tommy. And anyway, I'll just play part of it for you here.
Hey, Nate. I don't know what to do.
You should do whatever you want to. Read a book, watch TV, anywhere else. Daytime talk shows.
You like The View or something. What's The View?
Bunch of pissed off millionaires bitching about how much they hate millionaires and Trump and men and you and me and
everybody else they got to be up their ass about. It's pretty funny. I'm sure I'm funny.
Well, it ain't joke funny. It's like farting church funny, you know what I mean?
That don't sound funny either. Well, it depends on your proximity to the fart.
All right, there you go, John. A spoiler for you. I had to record that right off the TV when it came out.
That's what people love about Landman is Billy Bob in a lot of his different monologues just hits these different things right between the eyes. Things that all of us think but nobody says.
Yeah, he did the same thing with windmills last season.
Too much.
Hey Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
A lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Thank you.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, thanks to Carol in Billings for keeping us on track here. She called in during the break. Quit talking about Landman. Some of us wait until the whole season is out. Hey, Carol, thanks for the message. We will duly noted. We will keep that in mind. We'll try not to spoil too much of the of the, you know, the storyline or what happens, et cetera. But that soundbite is a good teaser, I think, for you to be looking forward to this. What is it, season two now, before the whole thing comes out? All right, back to it here with John Jackson, the Joker from X. He's with us here for the 8 o'clock hour today. And then, speaking of the TV show Yellowstone, well, do you guys remember Tom Opry, a Flathead wildlife filmmaker? He put together a new documentary. He's been traveling the whole state of Montana, and he put together this documentary called The Real Yellowstone, interviewing ranchers and even interviewing some of the environmental wackos as well in this The Real Yellowstone documentary. Well, he just got back from, I think, like Uzbekistan or something at a wildlife conference there. Can't wait to hear what he has to say about that trip and more. He'll be with us next hour of the program. John, let's start with the Brown University shooting story. What's the latest that you're seeing on that front? Yesterday, you know, you kind of gave a recap of the horrific news over the weekend, and then we did confirm that, yes, the young woman who was killed in this what seems to be a very clearly targeted attack is the vice chair of the College Republicans.
Yeah, and now there's a video out from one security camera that shows a pretty good glimpse of him, although he is shrouded in a hoodie and a mask. You got a decent look at him. He strolls down a sidewalk, turns around as if he saw somebody, and then clasps his hands behind his back to then stroll back the other way. Now, if you spend enough time in Middle Eastern countries and also in the United States, you know that's a unique posture and walk in different cultures. Americans, by and large, do not walk that way. A lot of Middle Easterns do walk that way.
That was this. I actually saw something about that on X by Jim Hansen. He's a former 5th Special Forces Group veteran, may have served in some other special units as well. I'm not sure, but he's got a Middle Eastern-focused think tank. And he made that very same point. He's like, hey, look at the walk on this guy here, on this potential suspect. And he's like, this guy has clearly got a different background here. So, yeah, Brown University, it just seemed like they have bungled this entire thing. Hundreds of cameras on that campus. And then you've got the liberal, you know, president of that university just kind of downplaying things, it sounds like.
Oh, it's terrible. We talked about that yesterday on the air. You saw them gather. Immediately when you saw that bunch of libs gather for that press conference, you knew right off the bat, before anything happened, this was going to be a Charlie Foxtrot. And it has turned out exactly that way, because as we've seen, these people can never actually govern or do the jobs that they're given to do. It's all about running the leftist agenda.
I kicked off the show by joking about how, you know, I was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. There were so many times I wanted to jump in on the conversation yesterday. By the way, big shout out and thank you to Dr. Healy and his whole team at Glacier Ear, Nose, and Throat. That's the crew that did my nose surgery. And it, just like so many people had told me, it's like, man, right after the show yesterday, I went in, I got those splints taken out, got the packing taken out, snip, snip. Couple pull the stuff out, and then boom, right after that, I went straight to the Flathead County Republican Women Luncheon and got a chance to speak to the Flathead County Republican Women, and here we are doing the show on the radio the next day. So anyway, so incredible. I want to thank their team and crew. I didn't know them before I got this whole surgery, so very thankful. And John, the other thing I wanted to, actually, since I'm on that front right now, before we get to other news stories of the day, man, I know we all got friends that are going through some very tough medical situations right now. I know our friend Kat out in eastern Montana, her husband's battling cancer. She calls into the show frequently. I've got friends that are battling cancer right now. And, man, it's just like whatever slight misery I might have had right after the surgery while I'm healing up before, you know, getting back up and running here, man, it is nothing compared to what so many people are struggling through right now as we enter the Christmas season. So just want to give a shout out to all the folks in the fight out there during this holiday season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, You've got those friends of yours, those acquaintances out there that occasionally have a bad day, and you just got to let them go. You just got to let them have that bad day and understand that they're probably going through something that you don't know about, and, you know, give them a little grace for a day.
Yeah. Well, like our friend Becky Hillier, who joins us on the show from time to time as well, she had a great one-liner, which is, even if it's not a good day, every day is not a good day, but there's good in every day. So just find the good in every day. I thought that was a great one-liner. You're like the man of one-liners. Usually not as heartwarming as Becky's, but fun nonetheless. But
well, I was going to tell you, yeah, right along that line from the movie Scarface, every day above ground is a good day.
Yeah, Scarface. So, that could take us back to Landman as well, but I don't want to give away what's going on in the latest season for Carol and Billings and other listeners out there. What do you want to talk about next, John? 30 seconds before the break, plus we got the phone lines open for our callers, too.
Well, I think we need to talk about Susie Wiles, the chief of staff for the Trump administration, and her recent interview with Vanity Fair.
Yeah, I hadn't even seen anything about this story yet. You kind of mentioned it during the last break, so I'm interested in hearing what's going on there and your take. Oh, the big story I got to talk about, too, is I think you saw it on X. John, thanks for the repost. The glaciers are melting. The glaciers are melting. The glaciers were supposed to be gone by 2020, but now they're saying that the glaciers could be with us till the end of the century. I'll tell you about that next.
It's December 16th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Chocolate Covered Anything Day. Who doesn't love chocolate? It's creamy, sweet, and delicious. Celebrate by dunking everything in chocolate. In 2020, 14 people are found guilty in the 2015 terror attacks on the Charlie Hebdo office and supermarket in Paris. Way back in 1497, Portuguese navigator Vasco da Gama is the first European to sail along Africa's east coast. He names it Natal. Also on this day in 1913, Charlie Chaplin begins his film career at Keystone for $150 a week. That equates to just over $4,100 today. Born on this day in 1965, American actor and comedian J.B. Smoove, best known for his recurring role as Leon on Larry David's Curb Your Enthusiasm.
39-48, right? The last four of your Social Security card number is 4938. All you do is change it around.
I'm C.J. Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. I want to get to this Susie Wiles story. She's just a very influential, very impactful chief of staff to President Donald J. Trump. She is a force, so I'm interested to hear what this whole Vanity Fair story is all about. Couple of quick Montana stories. First here, I just saw this from the Montana Highway Patrol earlier this morning. Big bust in St. Regis, Montana. So right there on I-90 in western Montana. Montana Highway Patrol troopers conducted an interdiction operation in St. Regis from December 7th through the 11th to combat crime and remove illicit drugs from the community. During the operation, Montana Highway Patrol's criminal interdiction team and their strategic enforcement traffic team worked alongside U.S. Border Patrol, the Mineral County Sheriff's Office, and Air National Guard counter-drug aviation, seizing over 14 pounds of meth, nearly 14 pounds of cocaine, 4 grams of fentanyl powder, 118 grams of marijuana, and resulted in, holy crime, 41 deportation arrests. John, as I was reading this press release here just now, I had seen it earlier. I printed it up, but I hadn't gotten to it yet. 41 deportation arrests. In total, 51 arrests were made during this operation. Yeah, John, I hadn't even seen the Border Patrol angle, and so I started reading this story here. Oh, but no, these are just nice migrants that are just here to work and provide for their families, John.
Yeah, those of us in law enforcement that have worked law enforcement in Montana, and particularly drug enforcement, we know this, and we have known this for a long, long time. You got your roads, and particularly the interstates here in Montana, that are absolute pipelines from your source areas of California, Washington, and Oregon going eastbound. And you've got not only all of the mules out there, but then all of those big truckers that, as we know, all of them out there are illegals with, you can't even speak English, with fake driver's licenses, the whole thing. Our interstates out here and our roads out here in Montana are just ripe for the picking for the highway patrol or anybody who wants to go out there and do an interdiction operation.
Additionally, members of the Montana Highway Patrol's criminal interdiction team, so I talked about 41 deportation arrests, 51 arrests in total, all the drugs that they found in this St. Regis operation, and which is, you know, west of Missoula, of course, for those who aren't familiar with, you know, a lot of the Montana towns. But on top of that, they made three deportation arrests and interdicted over 14 pounds of meth in Billings during that time as well. So, yeah, man, that's a huge news story. So all I saw was that there was a big drug bust and a bunch of arrests. But holy cow, the international component now that you're seeing as well, even bigger story there, if you ask me. John, I want to get your take on this one before we get to some of the other national stuff. Let's do some of the Montana First stuff here. Since we only got you for the 8 o'clock hour today. So I get back from the luncheon with the Flathead County Republican women. Great time yesterday. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to just relax a little bit after now being fully recovered, I think, from the surgery. I'm going to relax. Well, I'm scrolling the news, and I see this Daily Interlake story. And I was like, okay, now I got to get a story on the Montana Talks website. The glaciers are melting. The glaciers are melting. The glaciers are melting. You and I, David, we've all talked about this before. So back in 2019, in the summer of 2019, the Daily Caller broke the news. We talked about it on this show. I covered it on our websites. Quietly, in the summer of 2019, they started pulling down the signs in Glacier National Park, the signs that said the glaciers would be gone by 2020. Well, the Daily Interlake, quoting a U.S. Geological Survey official, now has a story that says this: though diminished, the glaciers may persist through the end of the century. It's only 8 years, John. It's only 80 years, you know, just a bit outside, their prediction there.
Oh,
did we lose you? Did you lose yourself?
You can pull those roadblocks down. Right? It was hilarious taking that trip up there right then when they were doing that. And here they are. Now they're coming back because they don't want to be made fun of anymore. And they're saying, oh, well, by the way, they might just make it through the end of the century. You know, so we're going to push that forecast off 75 years. Okay. Like you said, you know, missed it by that much, like Maxwell Smart says.
Get smart. Just a bit outside. Oh, man. By 80 years. Yeah, by 80 years. But it's every single one of these stupid climate change predictions have been wrong, awfully wrong. I saw when I shared this on X yesterday, Tim, our friend Tim in Savage had a great response to it. Let me scroll down on my Twitter feed or my X feed. Okay, here we go. Tim said this. They just can't help themselves. We've been 10 years from the end of the world for many decades now. In the 70s, we were warned of a coming ice age because of humans. So, yeah, it's just like, here we go again. All of this climate change, Adam Schiff. That's just a big steaming pile of, well, you know. Let's see. Anything more on that story, John, or should we move on to another topic?
Some people think that, and you've seen the commentary out here in the punditry, that, okay, that's gone. That's died. That's dead. And I'm here to tell you it has not. They are just being quiet about it right now, because most of the propaganda about it will come out of the government. And so because Trump is running the government right now, it's gone kind of quiet. But the minute Gavin Newsom comes back in here, they will crank that thing back up again. It'll be all climate change all the time. Make no mistake.
Well, what would an 11 Bravo infantryman tell you? And of course, John, you went through your federal agency's version of Ranger School with the Army down in Fort Benning. You assault the objective, and then what? You consolidate and reorganize and get ready for what the climate alarmists are doing right now is consolidating and reorganizing, right?
they're just staying quiet on it right now because they know it's getting no microphone here. And, you know, this administration is not going to be attending the conferences and going along with them. But do not call them dead. I'm telling you, do not pronounce them dead because they'll be back.
Yeah, although I think the other setback is not just Trump in the White House. I think it's also big tech, which has funded a lot of the big enviros over the years. Bill Gates and these big tech guys, they are so desperate for power, for electricity right now, because they know how desperately we need these data centers in America, that they don't care where they get the power from anymore. So that's why even Bill Gates did this 180 on climate change. The other kind of Megilla Gorilla moment, you know, John, yesterday, as you were talking about the radical Islamist terror attack on our Jewish friends in Australia, kicking off Hanukkah, as you were talking about our guard troops, ambushed in Syria by a radical Islamist. We've seen radical Islamic attacks on American soil. We've got, by the way, what did these shooters shout? Some of these news outlets didn't want to tell us what the shooter shouted out loud before he started killing people on the Brown University campus. But as I was listening to you talk about all these stories yesterday, there was a great post on X by the owner of X, Elon Musk. He says this, never forget. And he shared a meme by Rothmus. And it was a black and white photo imagery of Irina Zarutska, the Ukrainian young woman who was slaughtered on that, you know, public transit train in North Carolina, right? And just attacked, murdered for being white. Her throat slit right there, and people sat next to her, did nothing. And the one-liner, we were talking about one-liners earlier, the one-liner that Rothmus shared on this post was, mercy to the wolf is cruelty to the sheep. And of course, Montanans get that concept perfectly, don't we?
Yeah, and you know, the left has been playing this game for a very, very long time, for 20 years, and it's like an MMA fight, and they've been on top of us, pounding us bloody for two rounds. And when we finally get the reversal and we're on top of them and reaching back to strike, then it's like, oh, how can you be so mean? You must have grace. You must have mercy. No, no, it's time for you to take a whipping now.
Judgment and accountability. Yeah, that's right. Mercy to the wolf is cruelty to the sheep. That I think that summarizes so much of what is going on. The way the American people are being ripped off, as we're seeing with the Somali, you know, scandal. You know, billions of dollars. American people being ripped off. But by the way, there was a CBS News story. I don't know if you saw this one, John. So Barry Weiss at CBS was sharing a CBS News story that was looking at the Somali fraud scandal, and they've got documents. They were bragging, the Somalis were bragging about how they told this 25-year-old that they would make him very rich, basically, by stealing these taxpayer dollars. And there was a quote where they basically said something like you at 25 years old will be very wealthy. Inshallah, inshallah. And when I saw that word, inshallah, man, that ticked me off. I saw it last week because it's like, you know, when we were 25 years old risking our lives overseas in the Middle East, we heard that word, inshallah, being used as an excuse all the freaking time by people over there.
I think, doesn't it mean God willing? I think that's what it means. But you know what they've done over there is they've taken these African cultures, these different cultures from around the world that dedicate their lives to theft and crime and scamming. They bring them into the United States, and then these blue states serve up the welfare state to them on a silver platter. So what do you think they're going to do?
Yeah, great point. All right, we got Chris in Manhattan. Chris, we will get to you right after the break, and then John, we'll get to your Susie Wild story. Make sure before we start, you know, getting wild with callers and everything, that we get to your Susie Wild story here too, because that, man, you guys know how it goes. Whenever we got a great sidekick here with us like John Jackson, we cover so much ground. We have so much fun covering all the different stories that, man, sometimes we never get to the things that we were supposed to get to. So keep us on track. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. And speaking of staying on track, I need to go check our messages that are coming in on the Montana Talks app. So I'll check those out right here during the break.
Big topics,
Big ideas. Big Sky. Montana Talks.
All right. Hey, Chris in Manhattan. I think I might have missed getting your phone call into the system here. So give us a call back. That was my mistake. 406-294-0970. Love to hear your take on the whole, the glaciers are melting. The glacier. Oh, no, they're actually going to be around for another 80 years. And by the way, the glaciers have been melting for a very long time. Oh, it looks like he's inbound here any second now. So, oh. Are you sure? Yeah, he should be here any second. But yeah, anyway, yeah, the glaciers have been melting for a very long time. For those of you who aren't familiar with the history of Glacier National Park, the reason why Glacier is one of the most incredible, impressive masterpieces of God's creation on the entire planet is because the whole thing used to be covered in glaciers, used to be covered in ice. And it was the melting ice over all of these years that carved that magnificent, you know, basically creation of God into what it is today. If you've never been to Glacier, you know, you got to go there to see exactly what I'm talking about right now. It's not called Glacier because of the few glaciers that remain that have not melted yet. It's called Glacier because that's how the whole place was carved into what it is right now. All right, I'm not seeing Chris in Manhattan come through here yet, so I don't know if we lost him or what here. But yeah, Chris, give us a call back, and I don't know if we lost you somehow in the process. Okay, let's see. John, tell us about the Susie Wiles story while we work to get Chris in Manhattan on the phone lines here.
Yeah, the people have been wondering for almost a year now in the Trump administration, like, why are things going so slowly or not happening at all in a lot of areas? And why do we seem to be going easy on the left? And a lot of people have been pointing the stick at Susie Wiles, who is Trump's chief of staff, who is by and large a campaign person and not, you know, experienced in running government and not seen as a real true right-wing conservative either. Well, apparently just the other day she does some kind of interview with Vanity Fair, which is a far left-wing publication. They hate Trump. They hate all of us, in which the quotes that are attributed to her in this article are staggering. She calls Trump an alcoholic. He says he has an alcoholic type personality, first of all. Says J.D. Vance's conversion to MAGA was pretty much political, and that he's a conspiracy theorist. Then she calls Russ Vogt a right-wing zealot. And then talking about some of Elon Musk's posts, said that he's doing these posts when he's microdosing. I mean, she just took a samurai sword to not only President Trump, but to some of these really, really important people in his administration. And boy, it is a bad look.
So it looks like this was just posted 4 hours ago. Vanity Fair, Susie Wiles, J.D. Vance, and the Junkyard Dogs. Man, I feel like we should get you, David Noble, and George Blackard all on the show, and you guys could be the Junkyard Dogs. I think that would be a great show title for all you guys all at once. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Both those guys are just a ton of fun, man. They are great. They know every subject and speak on it intelligently, and they're funny, too.
Oh, that, well, same with you. No, that's why it'd be such a great show. I do wonder, though, can we really trust Vanity Fair? I mean, Vanity Fair is a left-wing hit piece mag, typically. So can we really trust them? But, you know, they say they got the quotes. I'm assuming they must have audio to back it up.
Yeah, and you know how these things play out, Aaron. If the White House comes out today or the next day and calls complete BS on this, it never happened, then okay, we can question it. But if it goes quiet, then that pretty much tells you that's what she said.
All right. To the mighty human Z out there, I had Z on the phone lines, but Z, I think I finally was able to get Chris in Manhattan on the line here. So I think Z, I might have dropped you in the process. So Z, call back in and we'll try to get to you next. But I think we've got Chris in Manhattan now with us. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, yeah, I I know why the switch is longer.
How come?
Every time an electric car is sold, they extends the life of a Glacier a year.
Every time you buy an EV, a Glacier gets its wings.
Yes. I mean, they should put signs up in Glacier Park to that effect.
But now I want to go be an EV car salesman. Hey, save the glaciers in Glacier. Buy a vehicle. And, man, you could make some good commissions off of that, couldn't you?
Yeah, it sounds like a good deal.
Oh, that's great. Chris, thanks for calling. That's what I knew when Caden got a chance to catch up with you and see what you wanted to talk about. I was like, oh, we got to get Chris in Manhattan on the show to share that point. John, your thoughts?
Oh, my, Aaron, I'm picturing Ken up in Great Falls listening to that call right there, and he's like the Grinch, you know? When he heard that comment, and his heart grew three sizes that day.
And he finally got an EV, so Ken, you saved Glacier, and for that, you're a real American hero.
America, F, yeah.
Coming to save the glaciers in the park, yeah. Except for you probably won't have much luck finding the EV chargers for your big drive to Glacier National Park. So you might want to leave that one at home for the big trip to Glacier.
Oh, man, the same thing happened to me last year. You know, I'm traveling around the state with my team as a coach, and you go into these big truck stops where they have that bank of EV chargers, and there's never anyone sitting there.
Ooh, man, hey, this is kind of cool. I think I might actually still have the Mighty Human Z on the phone lines. I was worried that when I took Chris's call that I dropped Z from the call, but it looks like Z might still be here. Z, are you still with us?
Good morning and Great Lakes. Good
hey, morning. There he is. Whoa. Good morning. Hold on, wait.
Yeah. So, you know, here's the thing. I think there's a lesson here for President Trump that campaign trail consigliere is not a wartime consigliere. You know, the person who is basically the blocker who sets Trump's agenda in terms of who sees him, who's supplying information, et cetera, is saying that he, you know, is an alcoholic personality. You know, this is absolutely insane. And it is crazy to think that someone who's good on the campaign trail is going to have the acumen to identify what resources to use to get to these people who need to be put in jail. And it's really tragic. She absolutely needs to go. Absolutely needs to go. There are so many far more qualified people in his administration, Stephen Miller, for example, who would be perfect and who also has the hunger to go and do what needs to be done, as opposed to this, you know, the ultimate feather in a corporatist hat, so to speak. You know, this is not good. Trump has enough to deal with, other than. And the sniping from the inside, I think, is egregious and done, absolutely done.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, I don't know too much of the inside baseball here, but, I mean, John, everything I've heard about Susie Wiles is like, wow, she is the boss, she is the powerhouse, she is the big part of making so many things happen. And look, I get that there's all of us who want to see more, and we've got to throttle down and get even more across the finish line. But, man, yesterday when I was with the Flathead County Republican Women, I went through just a laundry list of accomplishments of President Trump and congressional Republicans in just the first 11 months alone. I mean, this is, as Newt Gingrich talked about, this is one of the most successful, or maybe it was Mark Levin, successful presidents in the top five. I mean, he got more done in his first year back in office. We're not even the first year fully through. Then you got to go back to FDR to see somebody who got so much accomplished in basically their first year, essentially, in office.
No one doubts President Trump's accomplishments. What we all see is we see outside the gates the barbarians. We know they're out there. We saw those barbarians for 4 years under Joe Biden. And we know if we don't come outside our gates and slay these barbarians, the next time they're in power, we are done for, and we're done for forever.
But I guess my point is, like, yes, agree, point taken. But
you know, whatever the Vanity Fair comments are or are not aside for the moment, I guess my point is like, I think without having an effective chief of staff, no matter how good President Trump is, you still need that competent team in place. And so I just, that's why I'm just a little hesitant to just to jump out there and on a story like this myself, I guess.
No, and I am too, if not for everybody pointing that stick already now for about 4 months. Everybody's wondering, why aren't these specific agenda items getting taken care of, particularly out of the DOJ and out of the FBI? And everybody, the inside baseball was that it all came back to Susie Wiles, but you didn't really know. You didn't hear anything else. Well, this Vanity Fair thing kind of confirms a lot of it.
All right, interesting. All right, great to get your insight. Hold that thought. Man, we're already almost done with this hour. We'll see what John wants to talk about. Oh, I know what we got to talk about. TSA and ICE and more three-letter acronyms.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Some point, when do you learn the lessons of history and when do you listen to the enemies that want to destroy you? And when do you identify enemies for who they are? It's not a matter of, you know, I don't want war. I'd like to end war. But there's a fundamental, and I would argue in some cases, purposeful misinterpretation of the nature of a threat that is now worldwide. And we're seeing it. And it's not going to end well if it's not dealt with. The only person on the world stage that is understanding it and dealing with it seems to be President Donald J. Trump.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
You know, with the cold now swiftly descending on Europe, especially Ukraine, well, it is impacting so many elderly people, like, for example, a woman by the name of Olga. Now, it could be deadly. She's 79 years old. She lives in a small village. She has no indoor plumbing, no reliable heating. She doesn't have enough money to cover food, medicine, and heat. But thanks to the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, Olga now receives a nourishing food box, emergency lighting, and a warm blanket. Now, this aid is a life-saving gift for someone like Olga. Now, as another brutal winter is beginning, thousands of elderly people like Olga, they are praying for a miracle, and you could make that miracle happen through the special matching grant going on right now. Your gift today will have twice the impact, up to the first $50,000. Anyway, please rush your gift now. Call toll-free. It's 888-488-IFCJ, 888-488-4325. Online, it's HannityForTheFellowship.org. That's HannityForTheFellowship.org.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Mariah Carey is confirmed to be performing during the opening ceremony for the upcoming Milan Cortina Winter Olympics. Mariah is the first American star named to perform in the February 6th ceremony at the Italian soccer stadium. The organizing committee announcing, quote, Mariah Carey fully represents the emotional atmosphere that accompanies the run-up to the games. Internationally acclaimed Italian ballet star Roberto Bolle will headline the closing ceremony on February 22nd. R&B, soul, and funk singer-songwriter Carl Carlton has died at the age of 72. He's best known for his 1981 classic, She's a Bad Mama Jamma, which earned him a Grammy nomination and went on to live forever in pop culture in movies like Miss Congeniality 2 and TV shows like Friends. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Looking for...
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
TSA, ICE, and other three-letter acronyms, and more deep thoughts with John Jackson, the Joker from X. John, yeah, TSA and ICE, give us the news on this story. This is something that should have been happening all along.
Hey, Aaron, real fast, just now here during the break, got a DM from our friend Rhonda down in Texas, and we have our answer on Susie Wiles. And she herself has put out a post this morning just minutes ago, and I'll read you a quick quote from it.
Oh, great.
The article published this morning is a disingenuously framed hit piece on me and the White House. significant context was disregarded, and much of what I and others said about the team and the president was left out. Okay, there's your answer right there, Aaron. She's not denying it at all. She's not denying she said those things. So there is your answer. And we called that in the previous segment, is that you were going to see pretty quickly what was going on here.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see this one play out. And I haven't gotten a chance to read the full article yet and digest it a little bit. But hey, thanks for getting that one on our radar, because I'm sure that will probably lead some of the coverage tonight on some of the primetime programs as well. Okay, TSA, ICE, and other three-letter acronyms. Give us your deep thoughts there, John.
Yeah. It came out yesterday that TSA is now going to be sharing the passenger lists with ICE. And you would have assumed they would have been doing this already, but apparently this is a brand new thing. And I love hearing that. I mean, because what is TSA supposed to do? They're supposed to be all protecting the flying public and protecting those airplanes. And if we're going to let illegal aliens and people with fake driver's licenses and fake IDs onto these airplanes, then how are we protecting them at all? It's a national security issue. And not to mention the fact that maybe, you know, here at the holidays, your TSA line, your security line might be a little bit shorter with all the illegals maybe staying home because they know the La Migra, you know, the Iceman might be there waiting on them.
Yeah, I mean, this is just brilliant. But, you know, one of the easiest things you could do is, like, okay, when people get on airplanes, you basically have to confirm their identity. They have to share their identity. And now it should be very easy to check citizenship status as well, or if they're even in this country legally in the first place. And then if they come into this country, they go through customs. But if you're already in this country, we should be checking that as well. You should be basically having to look over your shoulder every single second of the day. If you are in this country illegally, there shouldn't be a second or an hour that goes by that you're not looking over your back, wondering when they're coming for you or when they're going to pick you up.
And that's how it used to be. 20 years ago, that's how it was. And illegals who were here went about their business very quietly. They did not make trouble for the most part, because they knew sticking your head up in any kind of public setting was going to get you grabbed and deported.
Well, John, it's been great to have you on the show for the last week, and then yesterday, and then again today. Man, we always appreciate your time. So thanks so much for being with us. And I know we'll talk with you again before Christmas, I think. But either way, an early Merry Christmas to you and yours.
All right. See you next week.
All right. Easy on the eggnog. And is your mama going to have those? It's the pecan pies, right?
Pumpkin pie.
Ooh, hey, they had some pumpkin chocolate chip cookies at the Flathead County Republican Women Luncheon yesterday, so I might have taken a couple.
Smokey the Bear.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much. We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
KDUL.